Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled Mother's Day. Thank you to Ed, Mike, Tammy, and Dawn for being part of the service. The scripture reading is 1 Thessalonians 2, 4-8. Happy anniversary to Barb and Dawn.
Today's reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4-8. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor do we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we're delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well.
Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. We do have wonderful women in our congregation, so thank you so much for being with us all the time. Today we want to honor and celebrate our women, particularly our mothers. Wonderful woman by the name of Margaret Windermere wrote these words. Mother always leaned to watch for us, anxious if we were late, in the winter by the window, in the summer by the gate. And though we teased her tenderly, who had such foolish care, the long way home would seem more safe because she waited there. Her thoughts were all so full of us. She never could forget. And so I think that where she is today, she must be waiting yet. Waiting till we come home to her, anxious if we are late, watching from heaven's window, leaning on heaven's gate. There's so many spiritually gifted women, gifted mothers in our congregation, and we're so grateful for each and every one. I understand by seeing it, and all of you too, that we have such great women because they demonstrate daily love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and even more spiritual qualities. It's easy to list them off, but we see it all the time. Some of us remember the wonderful Mother Teresa. She devoted her life to caring for the sick and the destitute. And others, because of her, took up that mantle and continue to serve those in need. And then I just want to share a couple of names that we hardly ever find. How many of us remember Jehosheba? Me neither. She rescued her nephew, Joash, from his marvelous, nasty family member. And then there's Naaman's servant, who was a slave, we don't know her name, who had faith in God and helped Naaman being cured of leprosy. And then we have Joanna, who was part of King Herod's staff, who followed Jesus, and after his crucifixion, followed his body to the tomb. And it was Joanna and other women who were first to see Jesus alive in his resurrection. Can you just imagine? And then we have Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and mother, and I'm not sure that I'm going to pronounce this lady's name, Zelophehad, who had daughters of courageous faith. You don't see them in the New Testament. You see them in the Old Testament, and it's quite remarkable what they've done. Timothy's grandmother and mother, daughters of courageous faith. I wonder, of all the people, all of our women today, who are really brimming over with the love of God, a mother who constantly remembers the Father and remembers their children and remembers all of us, saying thank you for everything that they've done. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, it's quoted twice in Acts chapter 2. In these last days, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Prophecy is declaring the word of God. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy, declaring the word of the God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, men and women, that whoever believe in him have eternal life. And not only do we declare the word of God, but we notice people in the Old Testament that we really don't know. So this past week, I just sort of went back and had to look at this again. And I kept thinking, did I? I'm not even sure that I knew that this person was there. And what a remarkable thing. Deborah, Judges chapter 5. Hear this, you king. Listen, you rulers. This is Deborah saying this. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing, and I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. And then in verses 7 through 9, interesting, village life in Israel ceased until Deborah arose as a mother in Israel. When they chose new gods, war came to the gates. My heart is with Israel's princes and willing volunteers for men and women declaring the word of the Lord. Incredible. And then, again, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this, Jael, most blessed of women, be Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, most blessed of the tent-dwelling women. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but may those who love you shine in the sun with your strength and with your love. So cool. And then we remember Miriam, sister of, somebody help me, Moses. I thought we got that right, and that's right. Miriam was a prophet, called a prophetess. It was God speaking to her, declaring the word of the Lord. Aaron's sister takes a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing, and Miriam singing to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider has been hurled into the sea." Incredible. So many women, wonderful, profound women. And then there's this lovely lady by the name of Huldah, who is a prophet who saved Israel. For many years, the book of the law, particularly the Old Testament, of course, was lost, gone. Israel became corrupt and followed idols and false prophets. Then the Bible was found, and Huldah verified that the book had been found, and it is the true word of God. Can you imagine? Huldah said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. Because of your sin, I'm going to bring disaster on this place. And people, according to everything written in the book in the king of Judah, has been read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord of Israel says concerning these words. Because your heart has been responsive, you have been humbled before the Lord," all because of her. "I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would be accused and laid waste of. So they tore their robes in my presence. And I heard from them, 'Your eyes will see all this disaster that's going to come in this place.'" So they took Huldah's message back to the king. And I try to picture this. Can you imagine Huldah coming in before this king? It says, "The king ordered Hilkah, the high priest, to remove from the temple all the articles that were made for idol worship, all because a very strong woman stood up to them all and said, 'This has been wrong. Let's do it right.' And Israel was saved. God's anger had lamented." And then some of us remember this wonderful woman, Esther, a servant who becomes queen. Esther was a servant of the house of Xerxes, powerful king. You can read in history of that. The king, unfortunately, worshipped idols. Esther served the Lord, and King Xerxes chose her as his bride. And there was jealousy among the servants, particularly by the man of the name Haman. Some of you remember that name. Haman secretly plotted a plan to annihilate all the Jews. Esther then approached the king. Picture this scene. This woman coming in to this great big palace, and it's just her and him. And she says, "If I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare the people. This is my request, for I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. And if we had merely been sold as slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king." The king asked her, "Who is it?" And there was a man that would do such a thing. And it was Haman. And his life was gone. Esther and all of Israel, the city, were all gathered to finally assemble and worship God once again. Had it not been for some of these wonderful women, we wouldn't know what it would be like. It would be horror. It would be terror. But because of their faith, they wanted to share it. Well, that's Old Testament. And in the New Testament, there are powerful women as well, humble, caring, lovely people. There was women who were declared the word of the Lord. In Acts chapter 21, it says, Paul, on one of his many journeys, stayed in the house of Philip, the evangelist, listen to this, who had four daughters who prophesied. Now, prophecy isn't just this is going to happen. Sometimes it is. But prophecy is, more than anything else, declaring the word of the Lord. When we read scripture, it's prophecy, listening to the word of God, sharing the word of God. So Paul, on one of his journeys, stayed in the house of Philip, the evangelist, who had four daughters, all who were given the gift of prophecy. And they declared the word of the Lord. Many, many people had become Christian because of women and also because of men. In Romans chapter 16, there's this long list of men and women who've served in a powerful way. Phoebe, who was a servant of the church in Cenchrea, and Paul commended her, saying, I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. She gave help for all who were in need and great help to many people. They don't even know how many people she helped. And then these words, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only myself, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who have been in prison with me because of my faith. They are outstanding among the apostles. They were in Christ before I was. Greet Tryphona and Tryphosa, whose women work hard in the Lord. Greet Phlogius and Julia. Now, I know this sounds maybe kind of boring, but these are names. But they're not just names. They're people. They're people. And when scripture is written, they're talking about people who have given their lives completely and totally to the Lord. And it's true for us today. Jesus first appears to Mary Magdalene following his resurrection. And these are powerful words, not mine, from Scripture. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, can you imagine, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Ah, they've taken my Lord away, she said. And I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, Jesus said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking that Jesus was the gardener, said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. And Jesus looked at her and said, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And not just teacher, but Lord and Savior and King forever. Now, there's been in the past confusion and conflict regarding Paul's restrictive passages regarding women and speaking in the church and so forth. But it appears that there were women who may have been disrupting the worship service. And so Paul requests quietness. Let people learn in peace. Don't just disrupt this worship. And I'm so grateful that we have a congregation that's loving and tender and coming together as one. And I have to say that I believe with all my heart that in this congregation there is love and joy and peace and patience and everything else. In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, preaching, teaching. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and today and prophesy, meaning preaching, declaring the word of the God. Men, fathers, women, mothers, equally declaring the word of the Lord. And in conclusion, a mother's love is something no one can explain. It's made of deep devotion, of sacrifice and pain. It is endless, unselfish, and enduring, come what may. For nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret, like a mystery of creation. A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand, another wonderful evidence of lovely women who declare their faith even today. I just want to say how grateful I am for our congregation, men and women who serve us through Jesus Christ on a daily basis by being loving and kind. And the fruit of the Spirit is an example in this congregation for love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and control. Thank you, women, for what you have taught us and what you will continue to teach us. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.